Okay, this is board time, Wednesday, September 16th at 1:30.
Okay, we've got the easy thing here is just simply the minutes for 1.1 for September 9th. Is there a motion to approve?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the minutes for September 9, 2015.
Okay. We're at 1.1 to, there's a motion to on the table to approve the minutes for September 9, 2015. Do you want to second that?
You guys couldn't wait 30 seconds for me? And you were both almost 10 minutes late to the earlier meeting?
We'll have to make sure when you publish a meeting, we start on time.
A motion to move on the minutes?
Yes, I made the motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, motion passes unanimously. Great.
All right. I wanted to bring back the Chevron. Is that right? We're on 2.1?
You're 2.1, that's you.
The Chevron access. Because I was afraid that some of the deals that was going on was going to happen afterwards. And one of the things I was worried about is that the access that they have to purchase and build might be a year away, but yet they're prepared to put the barrier up there now to stop access from 119th. And so one of the things that I wanted to do was give a little bit of history of what's happened here. We started years ago with that neighbor that was trying to buy that access from when we were working on 72nd Street Avenue. We were going to use a combined driveway to the Chevron station, and that owner next door agreed, and then he disagreed and pulled back out and never came back to address that. Mm-hmm. So now we're over working on 119th Street, and the county has been dealing with this guy, trying to get a deal with him, and the county has been unsuccessful because all of a sudden he wants way more than market value for this. So in turn, what we did, we turned around and told the Chevron owner, well, you go ahead and do it, you go ahead and get it, and then we'll reimburse you fair market value. Well, that means that since we couldn't get the property at fair market value, I don't think the Chevron owner is going to get fair market value either. So it could be a time lapse here that we put it back on him, or he's going to overpay for it and be under the impression that he's going to get reimbursed, and we're not going to reimburse him any more than fair market value. But the construction is going on right now. So one of my requests is that we don't extend that new curbing barrier any farther past the driveway until which time the other driveway is finished. Because it won't be able to even get delivery of a gas truck in there. So that's kind of a history of what's going on. This neighbor is not very good to deal with.
You can find a spot here.
I think it was kind of wrong for us to go back and put that burden back on the Chevron dealer, because we weren't able to put the deal together ourselves with that landowner. And so I'm just saying, don't block off that second driveway until which time the other driveway has been built or conceded to or whatever. But we have to have access in that 119th driveway until the other is done. So I don't want them to build the barrier now and then a year down the way think that we're going to get access because we can't get a gas truck in there or out. So that's when I brought that back for reconsideration, to saying, we'll move forward, but for right now, just don't block the driveway until the other is done. Mm-hmm.
Last time we talked about this, the only ones at the table here were Public Works. And what I remember from that conversation was 119th Street with a drawing of a big truck going out through east, the property east, coming around, making a big U-turn. And I looked at that drawing that came from Public Works and assumed that path and all that was representing a new intersection. I imagined that was going to be a signalized intersection. It was like a big deal. Since then, I've heard from Steve Hornstein, I've talked with the Chevron station owner, and heard the other side of that story. Because anytime you're going to make a decision, anytime we're going to revisit anything, you want to make sure that we have new information we did not have before. And now I have new information I did not have before. Now that I've talked with and found out that also the impression I had of what that new pathway onto 119th Street was not an intersection at all. It was a driveway to provide left turn from the gas station, or left turn in or left turn out from the gas station on 119th Street. Without that, I imagine customers coming in the morning, going through that intersection. They're going to be there. If they're going to work, they're coming from the east. They're going to, if they can't turn into that intersection, if there's a median there, they can't get in. So they have to turn left, and they turn left, and they can't get in that way either. By that time, they're going to have to go to the next intersection, make a U-turn, come back, and get in there, and then find another way, and they can't make a left turn out of there. They have to find another way, go down to the next one, make a U-turn, come around. It's likely not going to happen. If customers are coming from the north and they can't turn into that that station, they could potentially turn left at that light, turn right into, if there was at least a right turn in, but then they have to get out of there and do another U-turn to come back. So to me, that is a pretty significant impact on an existing business. We're not just blocking one access. We're blocking 100% of that. Median here, you can't get in either way. When I talk with the owner, they've got 850 signatures from customers that said, don't block us out. Provide a way for them to get in. I also talked with Heath Henderson about the practicality of this. The 72nd Street is fine. Even though the median's there, even though you block it so you can't turn left in or left out off 72nd Avenue, they're fine with that. And Steve, I see you're here. Steve Hornstein, you're here to help make sure we understand correctly. And I invite you to correct me if I misunderstand any of this. The solution is just simply to allow that gas station a existing driveway for now that is not blocked by the median, so that they can continue to have at least a significant portion of the customers that would otherwise bypass that to be able to get to it. I asked yesterday, Heath, you're going to be constructing 119th Avenue. Are you going to actually pour concrete in the place of that median first, and so that we actually have to change the construction of 119th Street in order to allow access to that station? And he said, no, I don't think so. I'll confirm it. They are planning on pouring concrete as a median first on 72nd Avenue. That would be a major construction, and then I'd ask him to change that. So Heath, at least my conversation with him yesterday, as best he could understand from the plans that they were, was just simply 119th Street, no concrete in the middle. They can place the median after the construction is done in the future. And also the length of that median has to do with how much they expect to be filling up in the queues, which is meant for long-term future maximum capacity the intersection is designed to carry. It doesn't have to start out that way. So it's a reasonable and a practical and a simple solution that we have the flexibility now if we just simply allow that station to turn and not be blocked by the median on 119th Street so they can turn left and we can have turn left in, turn left out of that particular intersection. Do I have that correct, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. So it would be... The sequence, it may be that in the future an additional access can be provided further east if the neighboring property owner cooperates and is willing to do something reasonable and mutually agreeable, but that might not happen. And we don't want to put the business owner in a position where he has to pay blackmail prices to the neighbor who feel like we put him in a barrel. So for that reason, because we got an existing business that has been, and I also understand that we gave them the impression and the expectation for long term to that we were going to cooperate and provide a left turn in, a left turn out on 119th Street, and because of the decision that we had several weeks ago with Public Works, we kind of backed up on that. But now that I understand the situation much more accurately, I am much more inclined to support the reasonable access for that business on 119th Street. Short of that, if somehow, for some reason, 119th Street, you can't turn left in or out there, then there would have to be an alternate arrangement made to compensate that business for the loss and to somehow set things up with the adjacent property owner. And you can't, and if we were to do that, you can't just do a one-time special case exception, because then you're not on equal application of the law. They would be bordering on gift of public funds. We would have to establish a policy that would say from this point forward, anytime we have impacts that are so significant that we're blocking 100% of the access of left turns in and out, and there's no easy way short of a very inconvenient U-turns at a distance at some distance, then we would make sure that not only would we authorize the proper compensation mitigation for this business, but any future business that we put in the same kind of predicament. At this point, it sounds like the simple solution is just simply allow them. You don't have to go there. You just allow this business to have a left in, left out at the on their own property.
In other words, we're not going to extend that curbing or barrier beyond the driveway on 119.
That's what Heath said was possible, yeah. And just simply allow that media not to go in.
Councilor Medora, I was thinking along the same lines, and I made the same inquiry, mm-hmm. And what I got from Heath was that we cannot justify shortening or not installing the median. The safety and capacity issues are too significant. And he does mention that you and he talked about that yesterday. So I think there's a disconnect between what you understood and what I understood, and Carolyn might be able to clarify.
Well, before we do that, I want to weigh in on this. So we had a lengthy discussion about the Chevron station, the issues related to it. We were in a room with several of our transportation people. We all saw the same maps. We all saw the same plan. Tom, this is Commissioner Mielke's deal, negotiating with the Chevron owner. And at the end of that meeting, this board indicated that we would take the advice from our transportation department, and I know that Commissioner Mielke wasn't happy with that, but we told our transportation department to proceed based on the presentation they showed us. So Commissioner Mielke is still concerned about that. He elicits you. You go out and talk to the Chevron owner.
Steve Hornstein is working for the business, and Steve
Understand
Hornstein
completely.
Has been in contact with me, and I have worked not only with Steve, but also with the property owner directly.
And that input can be important to us. But we don't come into a board time meeting and change our mind and dictate what we think should be done instead without reorganizing with our transportation department and with Heath Henderson to review it. And I want to see maps. You guys, you have this in your head. I get it yesterday. I'm going, well, what? So what are we going to do about inboard time, Chevron station access off 119th? Because to me, the issue was settled. So I want to see those maps again. I want to see, and if we have more input, I would like it with Heath in the room, because Mr. Henderson, our transportation manager, and his staff are the people who offered us guidance about concerns about safety. Then maybe we can figure out if there's a better way to do it. But not in the absence of the people who advised us, the people we pay, that we hire and pay to advise us on safety and transportation measures.
Can I say something in comparison?
Yeah. When I'm through.
When you're done.
So we need to reconvene that committee and get, look at this again, and I need to hear from our professional transportation staff, who we rely on to provide us with information about liability, safety, and whatever. And I'm concerned, too, about a property owner who has a good business and who may end up with some limited access, because that's a busy corridor, and that's a very busy gas station. And the guy has a right to operate there. So I'm concerned about all that, too. But I don't want to sit here today and wing it without Mr. Henderson being here, without getting another copy of that map, and without him talking to us about how they see what the safety is.
I think when we left last time, we were under the impression that the other road was going to be built. But there's a time frame difference. Is that the new road access won't be done for maybe a year, but we're building the curb, the blocking, the curbing now. And so what we're asking for is just don't go beyond that driveway until which time that the other part is acquired and put in place. In other words, if it's a year down the road, they can't get gas even in there because the truck has to come in and go back out.
I just might mention that Carolyn Hennigus is our transportation manager.
Very competent.
And Heath is her boss.
I understand
so
that.
So Heath goes to Carolyn to ask for advice.
And that's just Andy. And I'm not in any way...
Oh, of course, yes.
Not imagining you are a fully capable, competent, intelligent staff member. It's just that Heath did lead the discussion before.
Sure.
And he, so, you know, he's the person we sort of relied on.
Let me compare an analogy. Over here we have a courthouse. And the judge can say, okay, we got case number 566. Okay, I'm going to call the one side, present your case. All right. And I'm not going to call the other side and allow them to present, so I'm going to make my decision. Okay, what's next? We did not hear, we did not invite the other side of this coin and to be able to present their side. It's unfair. So this isn't, at this point, we revisit this with the knowledge that the other side, there is an other side of this. There's an impact and there's a solution that we need to consider if we're going to make an informed, responsible decision. That's why we're revisiting this. And we also have a time frame involved that we want to make sure that we don't have to go back and do rework because somehow we didn't give a heads up. Hey, wait a minute. We want to make sure that you understand there's a potential problem here. Make provision for us to make things right there as flexible as you can.
Right.
And I did not, apparently Heath talked with you after he talked with me. The information he had at the time just simply was optimistic, that, yeah, we're fine. But I, and Carol, maybe you can fill in, and Mark to fill in. We just want to hear the other side and be able
sure.
to make sure
okay.
that we don't get ourselves in trouble.
And believe me, I drive by that Chevron station, and I understand the difficulty that this will create for the owner. We did, Carolyn, confirm or correct me if you need to, we did try to get an easement to provide access.
Correct.
The appraised value was roughly 200. He wanted 286 or so, and because of that gap between the appraisal and what market value or what he was asking, we decided we couldn't afford the easement.
Is that right?
That was the decision by the board, yes.
Right.
So I'd like to know, this is on board time today, what is the goal of having it on here today? Is the goal to reopen the conversation and set up a time where transportation staff can bring back the maps and talk to us about this?
It was brought back because a very crucial part was overlooked, and that's the timing of it. Everything remains the same. The problem is we have a neighbor that's not wanting to negotiate in good faith. The timing is we can't block, we should not be blocking that driveway until the other access is provided as negotiated. So we're just simply saying, as you put the barrier down, stop so we can use that driveway for left in and left out until which time that the other part is done.
So what are you looking, I don't understand what you hope to accomplish today. Are you just trying to raise the issue today?
No.
So that we
I'm
can get a map and come back and look at this thing as a
no,
whole?
No, I'm not. I'm asking for a delay of the construction to not block that driveway until the other access is provided.
Of the median only.
Of the median.
But the median was going to be put in for safety reasons.
It was going to be put in, even though it's 150 feet from the corner already, they thought that it would be safer to prevent that from going out there. So therefore, they were going to go back to the east a little bit farther and make the driveway. Well, that fell through, but the construction is happening now.
Is there a chair for getting
so, well, because it's happening now, we can't get the cart ahead of the horse. You can't block the driveway and say, well, maybe in a year from now, you'll be able to get your gas truck in. So we're just saying, we're going to build that when the driveway gets done, but we shouldn't be doing it until then. And that this is not new. This was proposed with the whole highway that this be done. And we failed to acquire that property. So now, in good faith and recognizing business, there's two businesses in there, by the way. There's a flower shop and the Chevron station. And you would eliminate people from getting in there.
So, to me, the issue is, does it create a safety factor? And is there any other way to mitigate it so that the Chevron station is not unnecessarily impacted?
The plan and the reason for redoing the road is in anticipation of more traffic down the way. The traffic isn't there yet.
So,
if the traffic will be there.
That's the question I asked.
Yeah.
We're just saying, Heath, is that we failed to acquire that property, and because we failed, we're going to cut off the guy's access and then put the burden back on him. The burden should be our responsibility as the cost of building the road, just like it was with the wetland. We paid $1 million for the wetland and put another $1 million in enhancing it. And we're worried about this guy's access? So it's only right and fair that we not impact these businesses in such a fashion that we adversely affect their businesses immensely. It's only through respect. We're not saying that we're not going to build the other one, but you know yourself, because of the complexity of dealing with that neighbor, until that neighbor sees that we don't need him, he won't lower that price. And the agreement that you made with the Chevron dealer is that we'll reimburse you if you build it, but we're only going to reimburse him fair market value. And I don't think you explained that to him very well, that probably less than what he may have to pay for that. So we need to be more upfront and saying, we're only going to give you so much money to build that in there. But the thing is, to cut him off now and that road and access isn't going to be ready for maybe another year is not the right thing to do. So we're just saying, just delay putting the tail on that curbing.
On the median.
On the median until we get the other access built.
So Heath, when we talked yesterday, there is concrete that is going to be poured on 72nd Avenue for that median, and that's fine as I understand it. But it didn't look like the concrete was going to be poured on 119th Street, and the median can be added as necessary. The reason that we're talking today is because we need to identify that there's a problem that somehow we need to have some kind of a solution for, or a provision for that, so we don't have to go back and rework something, because we don't want to sacrifice safety, and neither do we want to negatively impact business in a really significant way, somehow to be able to address this. And I'm thankful that we do have both parties at the table today so we can hear both sides of the coin.
Well, so maybe I can back up a little bit. So I apologize for being late.
It's okay. We're thankful you're here.
So so the intent, so there was, you know, Steve Hornstein, Pete Capel, we worked out a plan whereby the county would look to acquire that easement. So we went through that process, made an offer to the private property owner. That offer was rejected, and basically for primarily two reasons: not enough money, and also that we're not interested in a permanent easement, which a non-permanent easement doesn't work very well in this case. So, and then the other thing that occurred there, so you had the easement was the offer for that particular piece. It was about $93,000 for that, plus the construction cost estimated by the Chevron's engineer was about $83,000 for this particular driveway.
That's your request, estimated by our guy at your request.
Yes, and that was the number that we came up, and we looked at it also and came up with a similar number. So you have approximately $175,000 for this access.
I understand also there's like $15,000 in design that's already been expended by the owner. Yeah. Is that included in that $83,000, or is that in addition to?
I would think it's not. The county asked us to have the work done just because of staffing needs and timing, and I think
okay.
That's
probably... Okay, go ahead.
So, when we came, there was never a budget set for the county and what that actually would cost for the county to do this. And even if you back way up, the county intentionally moved, the roadway was able to be shifted completely to the north to avoid physically impacting the Chevron.
Good. That's right.
So it was moved, so we didn't need to acquire anything from Chevron. And as a result, and medians by our code are required on arterials. And unfortunately, in this case, the sole responsibility for whether medians go up or go down is on the county engineer, based on two tests, primarily two tests, one being safety, one being capacity of the roadway. And so the median needs to go in based on primarily on safety.
Okay.
Now, when we came to the board in a month or so ago, our request really was, what does the board want us to do here? Because it's a significant expense of county road fund that technically there is not a damage associated with changing an access for a business due to loss of business based on Washington State case law, is my understanding. So, and you guys, the attorneys battle that out, but I think, so anyway, the decision was made, the right thing to do here. The medians do need to go down because there is a safety concern. We have the intersection is already, or the driveway is already quite close to 72nd and 119th, and we're adding double left turn lanes in that location. Somebody leaving there on the left turn would potentially have to cross four lanes of traffic.
No question on that. The Chevron station owns property from 72nd Avenue, certain number of feet going east.
Mm-hmm.
If this driveway is on the eastern boundary of that, does that give enough space for left in, left out?
I don't believe it does. I think the dual left turn lanes extend into the parcel next door. So they...
In other words, if we want to stay within the same parcel... Oh, you mean the left... In other words,
the dual left turns westbound to southbound actually extend beyond the parcel boundary between themselves and the eastern parcel.
Is it possible to... Let me back up. That intersection is built for future capacity, to increase capacity so that as our community grows, it'll carry more traffic. And the length of that queue, those left turn lanes, and the length of that median is set up to carry that eventual future volume. Is it possible when 9th Street is paved to allow a shorter, for the present capacity, a shorter queue lane, a shorter median, to allow for the safe eastern boundary of that property driveway, and then that gives time for them to acquire the property next door if necessary, so that that median can be lengthened and to do it in a two-step process?
So that's what Keith asked us to take a look at. What you have to keep in mind is that if your volumes go down, you might go to one left turn lane, but the reality is you would not shorten it significantly to get back to where that driveway location is. You can buy a few feet by going to the boundary, but it doesn't even really get you very much distance. It may be a car or two.
I would not think that you would change the number of lanes. It's designed to have two left turn lanes. I would think it's just the length is what's in question.
It is, except that you have to, the way we taper traffic into those left turn lanes, when you have one or two, it takes a significant distance to get them transitioned over where they can get into the second lane. It's possible that the lanes will not be full on day one, but I don't believe that you can shorten them enough to get back to where the driveway would be.
Well, one thing, at least my own, I can only speak for myself on this. Keith, you related it very well. You are the county engineer, and you carry the responsibility to make that call and to say yes or no in your best judgment to make sure that the standards and the safety are not compromised. So if, in your judgment, a median is there and the length must be at least long enough to block that intersection, then that says that that opportunity for a left turn lane on the Chevron property is closed, which means that if we're going to solve their problem, if we're going to mitigate for the negative impacts to that business, we would have only one other solution, and that would be to somehow provide as best we can for a further east access, which means we have to somehow work with the neighbor next door, provide some means for that eventual thing to happen, right?
Yeah. Keith, can I ask, why did we pursue an easement rather than an outright purchase of the right-of-way necessary to solve the access issue for the Chevron station?
Because it's an easement between two private parties.
Oh.
The right-of-way is not needed for the county roadway.
Okay, and who would build that roadway if the easement were obtained?
The easement, the original discussion was that the county would build that for it.
So if we're building a county road on it...
It's right here.
So it would move this way. So if we're putting a county road on a piece of land,
it's not a county road. It's
driveway.
It's private.
That's right.
Okay, but we're building it.
We would facilitate the purchase of the easement and the reconnection.
Or the person.
But who would lay the concrete?
Contractor could.
At whose expense?
At our expense, or we can have the property owner build it and pay and reimburse them for it.
And I would assume if the property owner did it, that would be, they're not subject to prevailing wage and other requirements that would drive up the cost. Private parties have more flexible and freedom to work with the free market.
There's multiple advantages to that.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a question about that, if I might ask it, though.
Sure.
Would we have to go through the normal major permitting process to create it?
We don't. It's not permitted.
So that would be just one more line item of the total cost, because this property owner would not do any of these things if we had not gone in and blocked the access. So if we block the access, then you just simply say, what's it cost to give him that in order to make sure that we are going to be pro-business, business-friendly, and follow it up with a policy that would make sure that other situations like this in the future, this is consistent and it's not a gift of public funds.
So the easement is between two private parties. So are we thinking we would facilitate that?
That was the original goal, yes.
But it didn't work out.
That's right.
Because our offer was rejected.
So we don't, do we have more leverage on that?
We do not.
Okay.
Well, let me raise an issue about that. But I don't think Mr. Gilliland, first of all, I'm not sure that the negotiations are final with him. Nobody ever asked the property owner what they thought about those numbers and how they might play in it. That becomes Mr. Gilliland's access onto 119th from his very large commercial piece of property there. You and I confirmed that yesterday or day before. He's going to figure out pretty soon, and I'm not sure how effectively it was made clear to him, that he needs that as much as anybody else does. And I'm not confident that the negotiations need to really be over on this.
But doesn't he already have access on the 119?
Yes.
It appears as though he does right here.
I'm told he thinks it's somewhere else, that it's further down. But that didn't pencil for me, and he just confirmed it.
Is there no way to phase the median, build it just shy of the entrance off of 119th to the Chevron station, and then park a car there and observe the stacking in the two left-hand turn lanes and see how often the stack passes the 119th access? And is there no way Rob Klug could sequence lights so that the stacking would never be a problem, or at least wouldn't be a problem for, you know, a year or two?
But isn't the danger, I'm not an engineer, and I'm not trying to be one. I'm just a driver, okay? The problem is going to be the people who want to go out of there and turn left, because they're going to have to cross the oncoming lanes, two oncoming lanes, and then they're going to have to cross two left turn lanes. And
there's no place to stack in the middle.
If we're thinking people go 30 or 40 miles an hour on that road, they're cruising through that light. So it's, on its face, it sounds risky. And what I want, what as a counselor, what I need is for transportation to follow all your principles and ethics in advising us what needs to be done. And I think Mr. Medore said that too, so I think we're agreeing about that.
And I agree. It's a difficult situation. I mean, I understand all the constraints, but if we are, it would be inappropriate for transportation or the county engineer to say that it's okay to not put that median in.
And do we have grant funds tied up in this?
We do have federal.
And they have our design. Based upon which they gave us the grant.
We committed to the medians in the grant applications. We scored extra points because we were installing the median to control access near the intersections. It's an important factor that risks our both federal and TIB funding.
Okay.
Does increase our liability as well.
Okay. So if that be the case, what makes the decision painful is that there's a price to pay, and yet the painfulness has nothing to do with the logic of it. Logically, if this door is closed for a left turn into where a median would be, then the next lot, then the only logical remainder is to be able to go east, which means that's, however painful, that it's costly, but it would be more costly if somebody makes a left turn and gets nailed there, and we have a suit because somebody, it's our fault. We have to do what's right. We have to respect safety and standards and respect your call, your judgment call on that. So, which leaves us at this point, I mean, that's the way it is, right? You, in other words, you're telling us don't turn left there, and you can't do it safely. So that's a given, right? So the only choice we have left is to somehow make sure this business has relief another way. And the only other way on the table that any of us can think about is that they need to go east and cooperate with the neighbor. So even if the neighbor won't cooperate, at least the business will have some compensation that he can spend toward a future access, or some compensation for the loss of business he's going to experience.
Chris, are we about to enter?
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the tail end because I was trying to explore a third alternative.
I'm concerned
just to see what else was going on. I'm sorry.
I'm concerned about subject matter and whether or not...
I didn't hear the question.
About compensating the business owner and, you know, future negotiations with the landowner to the east. If we're going to discuss that, is it appropriate in this setting?
The issue on compensating landowners, the court has taken up on a number of occasions. The court held the state of Washington liable where they sent a property owner a mile and a half out of their way, and has approved counties restricting access to right in, right out on a number of occasions. Although Steve will probably tell you, and I think the cases talk about the fact that a lot of that litigation tends to be more fact-specific. I think there are a number of conclusions that you can draw from this that he and I don't have to agree upon. What is important is that the county, and that if we're going to change our existing policies, because we have not historically paid people where we make right in, right out, or limit people to right in, right out, that if we're going to change our policies, that the board have an opportunity to fully discuss that in an appropriate setting, so that we can talk with you about the liabilities that run both ways, and that you have the opportunity to consider all that information before you make a decision.
Sure. So there's something that you brought up here. We discussed this with Steve Schulte, and it was brought up in the we were supposed to recognize the impact to businesses on islands. Whether or not we put that into the ordinance, this doesn't sound to me like we did. It seemed like we talked about it. We made it okay for that one individual, but we're back facing the same issue again.
I'm not sure what islands you're... Oh, you're talking about medians?
In medians, yes.
I think actually there was some change to the code. I'll look it up right now.
And it has to do with access to businesses to be considered in the design and construction of that road.
So there are some provisions in our code that talk about the amount of traffic on the corridor. But you have to remember there's two parts to the corridor. Those are the intersecting intersections, and then the pieces between intersections. I think we have a little bit more judgment in the areas between intersections, but near intersections, the operation of the signal and the turning and the safety and the ability to see someone coming out of a driveway as you're making a right-hand turn around a corner, those kind of trump what happens between intersections. So what we typically do is make more safe the intersections with what we call C-curve, which is just the little curve, by protecting the left-hand turn near the intersection, but out where we're between intersections and the volume is low enough, the safety of the corridor is okay, then sometimes those are what you would refer to as the islands that are not at intersections.
So
those we have a little more judgment.
Yeah, what you refer to is making a right-hand turn and then not seeing it.
Correct.
That exists today.
It does.
And it's about 150 feet to that driveway, which is more than ample. The concern that I understood was the crossing coming out and making a left turn lane. Now, one of the things I noticed at 150 feet and two lanes, you're able to put no less than 14 cars in that left turn lane. And that's something that it's up to the the traffic light coordinator to allow that to happen. So things can be fixed here pretty easy. That's one thing. We do it with the signal light timing. That doesn't stack that high. Again, that's a minimum of 14 cars making left turns right there, and it's going to happen overnight because today we only have two lanes there, and we only have stacking one time of the day. What we're asking, in fairness to this person, since we dropped the ball or couldn't put something together with that other access, that we not put the tail on this curbing or this barrier until which time this is done. I'm estimating probably a year, and I don't think that that's going to be at full capacity within 1 year.
So to that issue, I don't think we dropped the ball. If we were doing our best to get two private parties to enter into an easement and did the best we could with that, and we don't own the property, and we're not going to buy the property, then I don't think it's fair to say we dropped the ball on that. I think we were outreaching to try to look for a solution. Can we go back to that situation?
Can I say that's not an accurate... You had no way of knowing, but I'll tell you that's not an accurate statement of how this played out.
So, Steve, is it fair to say that what you mean by that is if we were to take a more appropriate approach, we might succeed, whereas previously we failed?
I don't know for sure. You've been promising this for 2 years. I'm not sure how effective the people tried to negotiate with that property owner. He's a difficult guy. But the first time this wasn't happening in my client's mind was a very short email from Heath after your last board time on this.
So, Chris?
Well, I want to finish that question. So the easement that we were recommending these parties enter into, was it a temporary or permanent?
Permanent.
And one of the parties was hesitant to do a permanent?
The property owner that we needed to acquire the easement from was hesitant to do a permanent easement.
I see. So do we have any leverage or ability to, in your estimation, based just on today, any opportunity to go back to those property owners?
If we were to pay his asking price.
And there's always that opportunity.
But it's between two private property owners, and we're going to pay for the easement for the gas station, and then is he going to repay us?
The reason we offered to compensate for the easement is because it allows us to move that driveway farther from the intersection, which is a benefit to the operation of the signal and the corridor.
And to that corridor.
Correct.
Because it allows for additional access.
Farther, it moves the access farther.
Yes.
And so that is a benefit, which is why it was offered.
I see. Okay, so that's why we don't own the land, but we're asking for an easement.
And I would add that I politely disagree with Mr. Hornstein and his comment that we didn't try. Because
I didn't say that.
We tried, but you weren't effective.
Can I offer something here? To me, it's not a question of if we drop the ball. The question is when we drop the ball. We were playing ball with them all the way up until the last meeting. Finally said, we're not going to play anymore, and we dropped it at that point. Left them high and dry with no compensation. That's the accuracy of it.
We're getting out of proportion. We're not saying that we're not going to build the other access. We're just asking for delay of the tail of that curbing until which time it's done. We're not saying we're not going to do it. We're just saying don't block it until it's done.
I want to come back and say I entirely disagree that we want to say our staff dropped the ball on this. If we negotiated in good faith and we did everything we could to fix this, and it's two property owners that won't reach an agreement, which we're going to pay for, and we're going to do the construction or pay for the construction. Maybe the negotiation wasn't successful, but I don't call that dropping the ball.
Well, certainly it's not a question, and again, who dropped the ball? It wasn't staff. Staff did all competent, wonderful work all along. You're still doing so. The ball is in our court. It's up to us. We are the ones responsible for making the call. So when I say we, I'm talking about us as the responsible decision makers here. County can be OCC. I take responsibility. We is me. So we need a decision from a real clear call from you if there be any discretion on that left turn lane on the property. It needs to be a, and if you say no, there's no, then I can't trump that.
Based on what I've seen and what I've discussed, we've discussed this with staff in our group ad nauseum for probably a couple of years, and I really don't see that we can feasibly not put that median and still say it's safe with a straight face, and that's my responsibility, and I feel like I need to uphold that. And okay, that's my role in this situation, you know, and you know, you have a different role.
So Tom has made appeal to you, and you're very well informed of all the facts on it, and yet you're responsible for the call, and that leaves us one decision, and that is, how are we going to somehow make it right with this property owner? And to me, I feel like we have the responsibility to somehow make this right with the property owner. Find a solution.
Sure, I think that he might have an opinion and a wish, but I think that we have a right to make the call.
No, absolutely not. Not over.
I'm just talking about delay. I'm not saying not to do it. I'm saying because we negotiated for 2 years and then we turned around and went backwards on this man 2 weeks ago. After 2 years, we turned it over and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're on your own, and we're going to cut you off." Business friendly, jobs orientated. You've got no less than 18 to 30 jobs there on that corner, and all we're saying is delay blocking off that back other driveway. That's 150 feet from the corner.
Carolyn, if we were
I also to want to go back and address the ordinance.
If we were to do what was being requested, how much median would we not put in? 20 feet? 60 feet?
I gave the drawing to Heath. I don't know if you can see the distance.
I mean, if it's 75 feet, I would agree.
It's a ways.
If it's 10 feet, I might not agree.
So a couple things. We looked, like he said, we have looked at this and looked at this. So if we move the driveway as far to the property line as we can, we're going to impact their water quality facility. That very much increases the cost of what needs to be done. We looked at this access onto the neighboring parcel. We can't come to an agreement, and we cannot force them into the agreement. So,
that's right.
Yeah. I mean, we could look at potential remodel, but I'm just going to tell you, I do not think you're going to get that 100 feet to get back to keep the driveway open to the left out. And I don't want to do that with the signal operating in this new configuration. It's not the appropriate thing to do.
Well, one thing that's really...
Can we let... We've heard one side. I want to make sure that the other side... here has a voice too.
Before I say anything more, Jeannie, you had.
Can I see that?
Yes, I wanted to ask. I'm not an engineer. I don't know about traffic. We're established on that. So, if that chevron, which is a good business, is going to be impaired, is there any way to create a circular flow there until all the rest of the improvements are made? That gives him access to 72nd.
If I were the traffic engineer, I'd be extending that median on 72nd further to the south, because I've seen cars just recently. You probably have
well,
two.
Well, they go diagonally to the south.
Yeah, which is
and they come around and do a semi U-turn.
Horribly dangerous.
Yep.
Okay, so that's not an option.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I'm
not an engineer either, but I've watched.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, I'd like to find a way not to break the bank paying a fee, because we have to do legally what we have to do, and we a win-win where this guy can get access. And I keep coming back to so some kind of a negotiation on that easement. And
So can I jump in for a second? What we call truck turning or auto turn on the parcel, but I do know they looked.
Just a second.
I do know they looked at the vehicles in that gas station. Typically, it's not the cars, the patrons, and the business that's coming in that has a difficult time getting out on the 119th. It's the fuel trucks.
Yeah.
They're big double tanker fuel trucks that have to come up. They have to get access into their fuel ports, into their tanks. And those are the only vehicles likely that cannot get back to 72nd. You can go around and get back on an automobile. So we're not talking
How do you do that?
I'm sorry?
How does a car do that? I agree with you on the trucks, but I'm not sure how a car does it.
A car can go around the building. Yes?
And but it can't go south.
No, you're correct. It still has to go north.
Or west.
It went north to get in. Yeah. It would go north out.
Yeah.
But the fuel truck is the one that's wanting to make the left turn, and that's what cannot happen.
Because
they still are stuck with using the 119th to get back out.
Right.
Correct. So it's different kinds of vehicles have different opportunities. So I just want to be clear on that.
One thing, and I don't know, I assume people know, but just in case, a U-turn, so if this is 72nd and 119th, so this is the driveway that we've been talking about. This one down that's existing here will remain. So this right in, right out here. This, we can't, U-turns cannot be allowed here because this is right turn movement, you create a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
This one can be allowed. So a vehicle could, traveling southbound, could feasibly go through, make a left here, come in through, do what it needs to do, and then come out and go back down.
But a gas truck couldn't do that.
No.
They're the only vehicle.
And Chris mentioned facts and circumstances a little earlier. That's what this case will turn on. I'm told by we've engaged in a condemnation lawyer just to understand this better. That isn't me. And it is the gas trucks that will be costing that bill. I'm not privy to the most recent negotiations with Mr. Gilliland, so I don't know how effective they were or they weren't.
Mr. Chevron,
One conversation at a time, please. Steve has the floor.
And so I'm not sure I don't know whether that's completely played all the way out. We weren't consulted when those were going on. We weren't asked for any help. I mean, there's a lot of. It isn't just either he'll sell it to us or he won't at the price we've offered. There's a lot more to negotiations than that. And I don't know what went on. Maybe it was the best that could be done. But that is the solution here. And I'm wondering if it is the case that we can delay finishing the road all the way to the intersection while we work on this a little more. You're probably going to tell me, well, we got federal money and, we got to get it finished and all that. But I wonder about that. Because today there is a full turn left out of the gas station on a 119th, I believe. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
So why don't we just stop the project right at the end there while we work through this a little further?
Our issue will be a delay. We have the engineers, all the people who build these things have schedules. And they have projects waiting on them. So you stop construction on a portion of this, and he's going to either reallocate manpower, he or she will reallocate manpower, and you'll pay for that delay and that remobilization, and or you may have trouble getting them back in here because, as we found out this year, we've had tough getting people to sign contracts because work's so busy.
Well, look, if you can make a left in, left out right now today, and tomorrow the road is 40 feet wider, I can't believe it's going to be a whole lot less safe to make a left in and a left out.
So let me,
from one day to the next.
So let me tell you, we have a significant amount of traffic accident history, both on 72nd and on 119th near this intersection. And many of them are from turning movements in and out of this parcel. And it's in the history. We've done a number of different things to try and control that, but we have a history that's been built up with accidents.
Are they T-bones?
They're side.
Yeah, one car T-boning another at 90 degrees.
It's an angled accident.
So there's a couple things going on here. One is, as Tom said, thank you, if you put that median now, you immediately start creating, lessening the business by quite a bit, because all those people coming south won't be able to do that anymore and get out without some fancy gyration, and they just aren't going to take the time to do that. So business starts to fall. That creates potential damage for the county. Maybe, maybe not. And I don't think we want to get into a big discussion about that today, and I won't be the one having that discussion with the county or somebody else. But so there's that piece. Then there's the piece, is it possible to make a deal with Mr. Gilliland there? And I don't think, I'm not 100% satisfied yet that we can't. You may be, but I'm not.
So do you believe that's the most fruitful path forward, to re-engage?
I think the longer you can delay finishing the road while I jump into that and see what can be done, the better.
I agree with that approach. I think the best solution here is this easement to the east. And with, you know, the intention was to go that way. And we frankly ran into some roadblocks. The conversations, there was a lot of back and forth with the property owner. We tried to, I know Pam Mason worked with him quite a bit and met with him several times, tried to provide the issue that you're talking about, the benefits to them with this issue, and maybe we can certainly reopen this discussion and maybe bring you with us and a little bit of help and kind of partner on this to see if we can get it done. Because we had been under the impression this was county response, you know, we're kind of going about our normal processes.
This is, when will the road be finished? When will you put the median in?
I don't have an exact date on that. I asked.
It's so close to being ready.
I know. It looks like
amazingly, this project is ahead of schedule.
Wonderful.
Especially when we're talking about delaying it.
Do you pour the median and then pave around it, or do you put the median after it's paved?
It's not a C-curve.
It's the poured median.
So they'll pour the base lift.
Yep.
Then they cut in a. It basically looks like a gutter and a median, and then they pour the final.
It's just important to know it's not financially risk-free to the county to do that here, if to the extent it hurts the business. And again, I'm not the guy to even talk to about that. But they're not going to go quietly.
Even with working on an
easement? So you pave and then you cut where you're going to pour the median?
And a solution.
If you pour the easement tomorrow and it takes us a year to get it all worked out, the business is damaged significantly.
Okay.
You don't represent either a party in the
I
easement.
Represent the store owner.
Yeah.
But I'm not a inverse condemnation.
Bob Stevens.
We have achieved a point in this discussion where we're dangerously close to what needs to be an executive session, or we're going to seriously compromise any bargaining position we might have with this land.
Yes,
but we're talking about re-engaging. I agree with that 100%.
But this board needs to give a direction today.
Well, hopefully, Steve, you agree re-engagement is the approach we ought to take?
Yeah.
Is that the guidance we're getting from the board, is
absolutely
to re-engage and see what we can accomplish?
We re-engage. Mm-hmm. We're just saying we want to re-engage. We just don't want the road blocked off until then.
When might the median be in place?
I'd have to check the construction. I don't
have to check. We have an executive session scheduled for 2:30. Why don't we go ahead and go into this executive session, because we've got the people interested in that now, and that way we can make some progress potentially.
Except didn't we do some kind of an agreement that we would do executive session at the end of our meetings? So, Chris, how did that...
Well, the board left open the potential that, generally speaking, they would be at the end, but that in any particular case, there may be a need to go in early.
Okay, we're covered then.
Okay.
Good.
Is there a motion to go to executive session?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make the motion that we adjourn for 15 minutes to allow for executive session.
Well, you don't mean adjourn, you mean just to go into executive session to discuss possible...
Yes.
negotiations.
Right. So what we'll do then is we'll adjourn, go into executive session, reopen board time, close board time, and go into our second executive session after that.
Yes, that's fine.
I think you can do that in 15
minutes. Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we go into executive session for 15 minutes. Chris, have we identified the purpose of that session sufficiently?
I would say it's potential litigation, and it may also relate to the negotiation for purchase of property.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are we now adjourned? Did you vote on adjournment?
We did.
Okay, so we are now adjourned.
We're in pause until we go back into open.
The recording will necessarily on the grid be in chunks.
That's fine.
Okay.